Okay, and we are here with, what's your name?
Kathy Sullivan.
And how long have you lived in Bridgewater?
We moved in the summer of 1975, so we're still new people.
You know, it's funny, I was talking to Colin Brown about this yesterday, and he was talking about how he still considers himself like a newcomer, and it's just so funny to me.
Yeah.
So we're talking specifically about fair memories, what was your first memory of the fair? Let's start there.
Well, I don't remember which year it was, if it was 75 or 76, but Mike and I came to the Bridgewater Fair,
mm-hmm.
and I can remember wearing boots, because
right.
it was rainy, and I figured it would be, you know, I'd be sloshing around, you know, in the fields. So little did I know that that would become like a Bridgewater Fair thing, we'd always have a little rain schedule
right.
for the weekend. So I'm wondering if this weekend will be the driest weekend we've ever had.
I think it has to be.
Because we're not having a fair.
Right.
But in 2020.
So how did you get involved with the fair? Actually, what is your role with the fair? Let's start there.
Well, I joined the Bridgewater Auxiliary
mm-hmm.
in either 77 or 78. And I helped out with the cake wheel.
Okay.
And so Kevin was born the end of June of 78. So I would be here all day with the cake wheel, and he would be in one of those old-fashioned, buggies, not the modern kind, but the kind, you know, the old-fashioned ones that most of
right.
us grew up in. And so he would sleep behind the cake wheel booth, and I would go nurse him or,
oh my gosh.
You know, whatever, change him. And
yeah.
And he was there all day long with me.
And
then
I grew up.
I helped Linda Roberts, who was the fair secretary for several years. And, you know, just kind of assisted her part-time. And then she was moving. So I took over in 1985.
You've been the fair secretary ever since?
Yes.
And what does that entail?
I am the contact person to find out what you need and who will do it for you or who you need to talk to.
Okay.
So I order all the fair tickets and bumper stickers in October. So they're sitting in my basement all winter long.
Have they been doing the bumper stickers since the beginning, or?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I've got the ones that I've been saving from, you know, the last 20 years or so.
Right.
I've got posters that people have given me from way back. And then I had Chris Amorosi run a program where she listed the fair dates. Starting with 1952,
mm-hmm.
you know, what weekend it was. Because sometimes they didn't put the year on the posters.
Oh.
They just put the dates.
Right.
So I want to look through some of those old posters just to see if they've got the old ride company
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we used to use back in the 80s and 70s. And
right. So I sort of feel like you're the voice of the fair, Kathy. Does that go along with being the secretary, or is that just something you volunteer for?
Well, that's my power. That's my power. People come up and, you know, they want something. That, you know, it used to be, where are the telephones? Where are the bathrooms?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you sell beer? You know, and so for many years, you know, we had a T-shirt that had with the little arrows, you know, dry town, you know, that whole thing.
Right.
Now, their cell phones are gone. We don't have a drinking fountain anymore. We have, you know, bottled water. We've got two sets of bathrooms now. So, you know, it's just letting people know where things are if they're
right.
not familiar with our fair. But the fun part is when they've lost somebody and they come up with this ammunition. I've got the kids. My husband's got all the money. I don't know where he is. So then I page him. Your wife and children are here. You've got all the money. She's waiting. She can't buy food for them. She can't take them on rides.
Oh, that's too funny. Have you ever had a really funny event come of that? Like something that was memorable?
Not that I remember,
okay.
but it's funny to see the people chuckle as they walk past the secretary's office because they know where it's coming from.
Well, I think I've been on the receiving end of one of your messages long before you knew me, but
uh-oh.
I can't remember what it was, but I definitely remember being paged for something. Or I think we were just harassing you as kids. I can't quite remember, but I have fond memories of that.
I know. Sometimes we, you know, like when the kids, especially at night, you know, it's like 10 o'clock and they can't find their friends. And I'll say, well, who is it? And I'll say, your little friends are waiting for you here, you know, at the fair office. And they're worried about you. And
that's too funny. That's awesome. So do you think the Bridgewater Fair is special?
Absolutely.
Why?
It's like Christmas.
Okay.
You plan all year for it. You either cook or bake or do something. You know that everybody's going to get together. It's going to be fast and furious.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday night.
Yeah.
So, and everybody has their little piece of the puzzle. So even though, you know, we might have a monthly meeting or every other month or something like that, everybody's been doing something for a long time, and they know what needs to get done, and they set up for it, and they do it. And
right.
It all comes together.
How have you seen it change over the years?
Hmm.
Or have you? I mean, do you think it's changed?
Well, it has. You know, now they're using, you know, credit card scanners,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's the way people handle their money now.
Right.
Instead of cash. That used to be, we were cashing checks for people,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't happen anymore. Having ATMs available for them. So those modern things have come in.
Right.
But that those are changes you have to make.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Do you feel like there's been a diminish of like the rural aspect of it? Like the, I don't know.
Well, it's hard because some people want it to stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
And but we don't have as many kids in 4-H.
Right,
we don't have as many kids raising animals
mm-hmm.
to compete. So sometimes we just have to have somebody, like the sheep tent, they just bring sheep.
Right.
We used to have the state sheep show here.
Oh, wow.
For years, decades.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people weren't doing that anymore.
Yeah.
So you just have to kind of roll with it and, yeah. like, twist it a little bit and
mm-hmm.
so that you have the animals that they can see.
Right.
But it's maybe not all the competitions.
I was saying, Gene and I were actually just talking about how, like, it just feels, the summer feels so vacant. Like, it just, like, without the fair, because this whole, it's amazing because I feel like the town just comes together.
Oh, it's crazy. You watch children, when you're involved with it for a long time, you watch children that are brought as toddlers and such, and they just want, you know, food, and they want to go on the rides, or they want to play whack-a-mole, and then all of a sudden there's that age where it's like, can I do something? Can I paint something? And they're here weeks before the fair, you know, doing stuff. Can I get you something? Can I run? Can I? And then they're in that, with their families in a food booth,
mm-hmm.
and they're grabbing sodas, or they're, you know, taking orders, and then they become like, Emily Cable and Stacy Sullivan, who came up with this great idea to have a tacos at the, you know, and that wouldn't come from somebody that's older. That's from the 20-year-olds.
Right.
Who, you know, and little kids love tacos and adults love tacos. And right from the get-go, we sold out and it's been a great hit. So you see them being, you know, growing up and then coming up with fabulous ideas.
That's so cool. Yeah, so Larry Neary always says that, like, this town is just so suited to hospitality because once a year we all come together.
Yes.
To... And I didn't realize, Barbara Vidal was telling me that, and I don't know if this is still true, but they just call residents and ask them for help. Like, she was on a list when she first moved here, and she wasn't part of the auxiliary or anything, but someone just called her to see if she would be willing to help at the fair.
I don't know how much they do that now, because mm-hmm. it used to be you could get telephone numbers from a telephone book.
Right, right.
So with people having cell phones, we don't have that kind of access anymore. But I know when we have the cake wheel, they send out a postcard to every household saying, please bake, you know, for the cake wheel. So all of those are donations.
Right.
And, you know, and then people lay down their 50 cents. And
yeah, I think it's so cool. Yeah, I don't really have anything else. I mean, I think this is perfect. Unless do you have a favorite fair memory you want to share? Something specific?
Well, my favorite one from the very beginning. I joined the auxiliary, like I said, in 77 or 78. And so we got our uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say it was my first parade.
Okay.
In 1978. And so Kevin was 7 weeks old, my oldest son. And I put him in the snuggly. And so we marched from Hutt Hill all the way to the parade, you know, the fairgrounds. And when the fife and drum corps split and they're hitting the drums, he slept through that whole thing.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and it was just cool. And I know that one time Dottie Smith and I walked with our kids in the parade. Mm-hmm. And it was Nick Smith and Kevin, and you know, they had to be like 3-4 years old, if that much.
Right. So do you know what was the genesis of the fair? Why did it start? I know you weren't here, obviously, but
you might get more of that information like from Walter Von Eggety and,
right.
and those, because and some of the residents that actually grew up here, that their parents, they grew up going to the fair.
Right.
But I think it was to raise money for, it was a carnival,
mm-hmm.
and it was to raise money for the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we had the hurricane of 55, that was the other time, like it was canceled.
Yesterday was the anniversary of it.
Phew. And so they had started a raffle.
Okay.
That they could get guaranteed money.
Right.
You know, something that they, and I don't know what they raffled off back then, but, and then they moved the raffle from Sunday night, they used to do it Sunday night, to Monday evening, so they could sell tickets all day Sunday,
oh.
and then be able to account for all of them all day Monday, and then have the drawing on Monday.
That much, I never thought of that, like, logistical piece of it. That must be like,
they have to account if they print 20,000 tickets, they have to account to the state for where every ticket is sold, unsold.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the
behind the scenes stuff just fascinates me. I think that's like, you guys just must be, you must go mad like right as it's coming up. Like, it just must be so much.
Well, it's some people get grumpy, you know, because you know, you always look around and you go, you know, so and so is putting in 150% and this one's here for the beer,
right?
You know,
right.
And so we have that mm-hmm. goes on, and you know, they're real nice people, but they might not always, you know, contributed as much as they could.
Right.
You know, they're there, mm-hmm. but so that can be frustrating for some of those people that, you know, and it's in any organization. There's a small cadre of people who will work and work and work until the job gets done.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But it's exciting when the tents go up the 1st of August.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Christmas is coming,
mm-hmm.
and you know it's going to happen, and it's cool. I miss it.
It's such like a center of community for me, and I love going there and seeing people I know. Like that's the fair to me. And I don't, you know, the food's great, blah blah blah. I don't do rides, and I love walking through the animal tents, but it's seeing people I know and making those connections.
Oh, absolutely. Because people hear my voice. My students from Danbury High School, and I was in the Danbury school system for 41 years. I taught for 43, if you add Brewster. But they hear my voice, and they come see me, you know, or they know that I'm here,
mm-hmm.
you know. Last year, a woman lost her wallet and probably left it in a bathroom. Somebody picked it up and brought it. And I looked at the name, and I go, oh, my gosh, there can't be other people by the name of that. So this was a student that I had that was a real pistol. And just, you know, she would give teachers a hard time. She would swear at them. She was like, oh, my gosh. Now she's a mom, and she's got, like, a 3-year-old.
Right.
So it was her. Then when she saw it was me, it was like, oh, my goodness. You know, so those kind of reunions, to see them grow up
mm-hmm.
and become productive and centered and focused, and when they were just like, oh, little hellions in high school.
Whew. Right, right. I know. Like, that's... So we, the library did their little booth
mm-hmm.
for 2 years in a row. And like, there's something truly spectacular about being part of the whole process. Not that we were, you know, we were worried about ourselves, not about the whole fair, but it's great. And making those connections is...
Yeah, the people that walk through and are surprised to see you there.
Right.
That you hadn't expected to see, that they might have been on to the fair many times, mm-hmm. many years, but you just never crossed paths with them.
Or like the... So I had an experience last year where I didn't realize that this couple was a couple. Like, I always thought that, like, they were two separate people because I always saw them separately, and then they were there together, and I'm like, oh, you guys are married? But yeah, that's cool. It's cool stuff. So do you have anything else you want to add?
I'm good.
Okay.
Keep searching. You're going to hear so many wonderful stories.
Yeah, I think this is a good start. Thank you so much, Kathy.
You're welcome.